following podcast is brought to you exclusively by the R&R Podcast Network. Welcome to RTW Rewind. Red Rob will take you on a journey through time to relive some of the greatest moments, matches, and personalities from the sport of professional wrestling. Now, here's your host of the show, Red Rob, Rob Francois.
Hey guys, welcome back to RTW Rewind. I am your host, Rad Rob, Rob Francois. I hope everyone is doing well. It's beginning of June as I'm recording this. Things are starting to slowly open up around the United States. Some places are in phase two of their phase four reopening plan, as we see. COVID-19 slowly starting to trend downward, which is a good thing. We see WWE nowadays with plexiglass and NXT performers as in the crowd. We've seen AEW have people in the crowd, their own talent. But who knows when we're going to get back to what could be the new normal. Start having arena shows again. But that's not what we're here to talk about. Although I hope everyone's doing well and everyone is happy and healthy and safe. But this is a retro wrestling show. And over the last few weeks, I've given you the story of my my origin story as a wrestling fan, so to speak, regarding, you know, what first dragged me into the business and how I became a lifelong wrestling fan. This episode in particular is dedicated to my all-time favorite wrestler. Now, as I mentioned several weeks back, that the first match that ever really drew me in to becoming a wrestling fan was an AWA match. It was the Midnight Rockers, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, taking on the Midnight Express, Randy Rose and Dennis Condrey. My all-time favorite wrestler is none other than the Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels. In my opinion, the absolute best to ever grace the ring. The best all-around in-ring performer that many of us will probably never see anybody like him again. And I mean, I hold Ric Flair in high regard, Randy Savage, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock. Everybody is unique in their own different way. Everybody has their own unique style. But to me, in my opinion, the greatest wrestler of all time is Shawn Michaels. And I loved Shawn Michaels so much. Obviously, back from when he was in the Rockers. Was blown away by what him and Marty did. And obviously, my best friend and I, Warren, wrestled as the Rockers, me being Shawn Michaels, he being Marty Jannetty. You know, like I said before, me giving him crap for Marty Jannetty getting pinned by Bobby Heenan at Survivor Series 89. I actually talked to him about that again the other day. It's like, dude, that was the worst. And he's like, you still haven't let me live that down. I'm like, nope, never will. But Shawn and Marty were ahead of their time. And I know they had influences from the Midnight Express, from the Rock and Roll Express. A lot of their attire was kind of inspired by the Rock and Roll Express. And the Rock and Roll Express were fantastic. But to me, Shawn and Marty took it to a whole other level with their, you know, dynamic double team moves and all that. Just tag team excellence. They were the masters of motion, as Gorilla Monsoon used to call them. They were tag team specialists. And when Shawn and Marty still started to have a kind of a fallout in late 91, early 92, I was like, okay, where's this going? Well, we found out that one fateful day on Superstars of Wrestling, where it was a wrestling challenge. I don't remember which show it was. There was an article in the WWF magazine asking if the Rockers are going to split. So Brutus the Barber Beefcake had his own talk show segment called The Barbershop. And, you know, if you remember anything from, like, Brother Love and the Snake Pit and all that, Piper's Pit, they decorated the set to look like an actual barbershop. Had a barbershop chair and a window and all that. You guys know the story. For those of you that don't, the Rockers were asked to come on the show to address that article in the WWF magazine. And Brutus wanted to get to the bottom of it and see if they could work this out. And it looked like they're going to. They worked out the differences, shook hands and hugged. And Brutus was all happy. He said, "Ladies and gentlemen, Shawn Michaels and Marty Jannetty, the Rockers." Shawn grabbed Marty's hand and held it up in the air, and they both posed. Then boom. Shawn hit Marty with the Sweet Chin Music. Bobby Heenan says, "I knew he was going to do that. I knew he was going to do that." It was Wrestling Challenge. If Bobby Heenan was on it, it was Wrestling Challenge. Shawn then proceeded to take Marty, pick him up, and throw him through the barbershop window, which is obviously some kind of a candy glass or whatever. But Marty was cut open. Shawn then grabbed the WWF magazine and split it in half, thus becoming a heel and launching quite possibly the greatest singles career in the history of professional wrestling.
What's going on, everybody? My name is Vampiro. This right here is the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. Tune in, get tuned up, get informed, and enjoy the podcast.
RTW Rewind.
Even though I was a kid, and I usually, trended towards the good guys, towards the baby faces, because I was young and impressionable, I was still a Shawn Michaels fan. Well, I couldn't believe it. I was like, no, my favorite tag team's broken up. I'm still a Shawn Michaels guy. So he was the first heel that I rooted for. And I never stopped rooting for him ever since. So it was a different time. And he obviously got Sherry Martel, Sensational Sherry, as his manager. And whew, they were quite a duo. And he was in the 92 Rumble. Had a decent fairing. Was in WrestleMania 8. Took on Tito Santana in the opening match. Weird finish, too. I don't know what the proposed finish was to be. I'm assuming it was a botch, but it was so bad they wouldn't even replay it on Instant Replay, which they normally did. from then on out, Marty left for a while to sell being thrown through the window, and who knows what else is going on with him. He may even have been suspended for something at that point. You never know. I don't know the full story. He came back. Marty was in and out. Came back in 93. They wrestled for the Intercontinental title. They had a match at the Rumble that year, which apparently wasn't good. I don't know if he was inebriated during the match, or the story is that he was drunk the night before and he was hungover. I don't remember exactly the details of it, but Shawn wasn't the greatest person in the world back then. Kind of threw Marty under the bus. Had possibly told some lies about him. So, Marty left for a while. I think he came back that summer. He came back with Sensational Sherry in his corner. Now I'm probably screwing up the timeline. Again, I don't know how many times I got to say it on the show. I'm pretty old. Don't take everything I say as as fact. But I do remember them wrestling on Raw in 93, where Mr. Perfect interfered and threw his towel in Shawn Michaels' face, and Marty rolled up Shawn from behind, won the Intercontinental title. But that didn't last long either. It wasn't a long reign. Marty had his demons, still has his demons to this day, so many years later, which is so unfortunate. If you listen to my interview on Tuesday with Dusty Wolf, him and I agreed Marty could have had a Shawn Michaels level run if it wasn't for his, bad behavior and not growing up and still having his demons. Look, Shawn had his demons too, but apparently Shawn knew how to keep it under enough control, or just knew how to politic his way into the into the top spots, but you know, Sean had a really good run. I was so happy when he won his first Intercontinental title from British Bulldog on Saturday Night's Main Event on Fox. I couldn't believe that. I was like, yeah, that was his first title win. And, you know, it's funny. When my best friend and I wrestled, obviously I said, you know, I booked the territory and we pretty much put ourselves on top against our friends. Marty Jannetty was my best friend, was the world champion for a long time. He was older than me. I had a lot of respect for him. So, you know, I was fine with him being a champ. I was the Intercontinental champ. At one point, we brought in the, we created WWF Television Championship, and Shawn Michaels had that. We had tag team titles. It's funny, I'm probably going to do a whole show on this at some point. But at one point, we broke our own tag team up, the Rockers, before they did 92. I think we did it in, let's say we did it in 90 or 91. And there's a lot of trends that I was ahead of when I was booking. And I will go into all that in an upcoming episode. But as Shawn Michaels, I don't think I won my first world title until 92 or 93, somewhere around there. Well before he did in 96 at WrestleMania 12. But speaking of WrestleMania 12, I got to meet Shawn about a month or two after his win against Bret Hart for his first WWF championship. And he's a babyface. And he was in town in Hartford when I lived in Connecticut. There was an arena football team there. I can't for the life of me remember what the hell the name of that team was. It didn't last long. But he was there kind of to do promotions for it. To promote, you know, obviously himself and WWE, but WWF at the time. But, you know, to make an appearance at the game. And I brought in the WWF magazine from the, you know, WrestleMania 12. He was on the cover holding up the world title in the air. I had him sign that magazine. When I met him, I was like, oh, man, this is my chance. Like, this is my guy. This has been my guy since 1988. And here we are in 1996, you know, 8 years later, winning his first world title. Didn't have the belt with him, which is pretty funny. And, you know, I got up to the line, in front of the line to meet him. And I said, oh, man, dude, I have been a huge fan of yours for so long. I was so nervous. And I've never been really good over the years meeting wrestlers. Kind of like, you know, Chris Jericho talks about that, like almost like the Jericho effect, where I'll say like the dumbest things ever, or I'll forget everything I wanted to say, or I'm so nervous I just can't say anything at all. And at that point, I was 20. I mean, still young, still had no clue what to do in life. And I was like, I'm such a big fan. You know, I'm so happy you finally won the title against Brett. And he's like, yeah, me too. I'm like, what a dick. Like, he's supposed to be babyface. And he had just a shitty attitude. He really did. He didn't look like he was happy to be there at all. I don't know if he was tired, had a bad day, was in pain, or was on something that day. Who knows? I, you know, my best friend Kevin met John Cena and was the huge, huge John Cena fan. Huge. Had all of his merchandise, all the action figures, everything. He got to meet him at Access one time and said he was so rude. And just not friendly that day. And this is John Cena, who, you know, always usually puts on a happy face. And I'm like, Kev, you must have been having a really, really bad day, because I've heard nothing but good things about people that have met him. And that sucks. And he hated him ever since then. He threw all his merchandise away. You know, he totally was anti-Cena, and still is to this day, even though he's, you know, mostly retired now. But that's how I felt about Sean. And, you know, there's an old saying that, you know, you don't ever want to meet your heroes or your idols, because they're just going to let you down. And this was one case where that happened. I didn't stop being a fan. I didn't go to the extreme lengths that Kev did. But I was disappointed. I was really, really let down that he was not a nice guy, especially being the champion, making all the appearances and being the babyface. He's supposed to be nice to people, especially they're paying to be there. So it's that was unfortunate, but I still have the magazine to this day, which is pretty cool. Haven't had a chance to meet him again, like after he got saved. I would love, and I've tried to reach him and try to get hold of him. I went to WrestleMania 28 in Atlanta, which I'll get into that here in a second. But yeah, it really sucked meeting my guy, my hero, my idol, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels, and he's a dick. And I'm going to do another show of all the people I've met over the years, and I'll tell you who was really nice and who wasn't really nice. But yeah, after that win, I mean, shit, 96, 97, Shawn put on the best matches of his career. I mean, ridiculous matches. And business was down at that point. He gets blamed for a lot of that, but it's not his fault. He was the number one wrestler in the world. His match he had with Mankind at In Your House, I believe it was spectacular. Still holds up today. I mean, Shawn was able to adapt and to wrestle so many different styles and not just be a high flyer. But I mean, his matches with The Undertaker were fantastic, with Steve Austin, with Mick Foley. I mean, with Kevin Nash, with Scott Hall, obviously. The famed ladder match at WrestleMania 10, it just, that inspired the Hardys and the Dudleys and Edge and Christian and all to do their own thing. Him and Bret Hart were great, even though they didn't like each other most of the time. Shawn was just so good. He could wrestle with anybody. And he was a good promo, too. A lot of people don't give him credit for being a great promo, but, I thought he did a fantastic job. Going toe-to-toe with Vader, who wasn't the same Vader when he was in WWF, but Vader, Leon White, Big Van Vader was still Big Van Vader. And he fucked up a spot. Shawn took exception to it and called him out on it live during a match and put Leon in his place. I mean, Shawn had no fear back then. Like Stone Cold says stuff like, 7 feet tall and bulletproof, just amazing. Then he lost his smile. I don't understand the whole thing. And in fact, even before that, I believe when he was Intercontinental Champion, got beat up by a bunch of thugs in Syracuse, I believe it was. And they played the whole angle off of that. Dean Douglas, I think, ended up being the Intercontinental Champion or whatever. Like, it's a little spotty to me. I was drinking a lot during that time. But yeah, I just made up a whole thing on TV. It's just dude had no fear. but getting a knee injury and losing his smile and having to give up the WWF title when he was supposed to wrestle at WrestleMania 13 that year, Bret Hart kind of called him out on it, but Bret ended up wrestling Steve Austin in a submission match, which did the double turn and. To this day, it's still one of the greatest matches in history. Go back and watch that. It's phenomenal. And that's the whole Stone Cold being put in a sharpshooter and bleeding like crazy, which, that was on t-shirts and magazines and the signature for WWE for many, many years. That made Steve Austin that day. But Shawn was there doing commentary and end up being Undertaker against Sid Vicious or Sid Justice back then for the world title, and Taker won his second world title. And then Shawn came back magically, 3 months later, all ready to go. But the whole I lost my smile thing, like, Jesus, I don't know what the hell was all that about. And, we didn't know if he was ever going to come back again. I bought into it, but looking back now, watching again, I'm like, what a dick. This guy's an asshole. He had a knee injury, and Bret was like, he faked a knee injury so he wouldn't have to wrestle me again or whatever, like, which, there could be some truth to that. You never know. But I was still a fan, no matter what. I was at what I thought would have been his last match at WrestleMania 14 in Boston. He wrestled Stone Cold Steve Austin, and passed the torch. Stone Cold won his first WWF title. I was sitting up fairly high, so I couldn't see the pain that Shawn was in. And watching that match back and just seeing the agony on his face and just the excruciating pain that he was in, but still able to put on what I thought was a fantastic match against Steve Austin. And he has some regrets now that he wasn't able to give Steve the match he deserved, but through it all, he still busted his ass, you know, and put on a fantastic match. And, you know, we thought that was going to be it. And I don't remember how old he was at the time. Well, actually, late 20s, early 30s. I mean, he still would have had time left, obviously, because he came back later. But it was sad to see him go. And he wasn't in a good frame of mind at that point at all. Threw a little hissy fit, you know, after the event, during the post-show press conference. He was a jerk, plain and simple. He was a jerk back then. The stuff he did in DX was revolutionary. But that's just him amped up to like 100. Like, he was an asshole, you know, humping the ground and motioning like a woman, like giving a blowjob or whatever. He's a fucking douchebag. But him and Triple H were great. I thoroughly enjoyed the original DX stuff that they did. Suck the Cook, and my wife loved the DX poker game especially. I think that's when he stuffed his tights, you know, stuffed his underwear with something. you know, putting on the visor with windshield wipers, you know, when Sergeant Slaughter was talking at Paul and John, when, you know, spitting all over him. Jumping up and down, telling JR to suck it. Revolutionary stuff. But when he left in 98 after WrestleMania 14, I was lost. I was like a lost puppy dog without my guy. I didn't know what to do. I mean, I still loved wrestling. And Stone Cold was so hot at that point. You know, that him and Austin McMahon really, like all of us, kept us glued to that television set. And really is what helped turn the tide in the war against WCW. It's unfortunate that Shawn missed out on pretty much the entire Attitude Era. I mean, that was right up his alley. I mean, DX was a little bit a part of that beforehand. But he could have been a huge, huge major player. But you got guys like Stone Cold that came out of that. Like, you know, The Rock, Triple H, you know, cemented their legacies as the best in the business by sticking around during that time. They're phenomenal.
Hey, this is Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net, the Rad Turtles Wrestling Podcast. It's amazing to me that turtles have the ability to speak, let alone host wrestling podcasts. I guess that's what makes them rad.
RTW Rewind.
Shawn came back at SummerSlam 2002. And let me tell you, it didn't miss a beat. I mean, it's amazing to be out for 4 years and never, ever show any ring rust. It's phenomenal. He's just a natural-born wrestler and a natural-born entertainer. Him and Triple H tore it up. I was so happy to see him back. He was saved. He was a Christian now. This bad attitude was gone. But to be gone 4 years, man, and to have that kind of a match, truly, truly remarkable. Won the world title later that year at Elimination Chamber. Everybody remembers the poop brown tights. He came back in 2002, and nobody knew what kind of run he was going to have, almost as long as his first run. Pretty remarkable. You know, he didn't retire until 2010. But just truly, truly amazing what he was able to do after 4 years off and have a whole second career. You know, his matches against his program against Chris Jericho, probably my favorite program he ever did. Elevated Chris Jericho to a whole nother level. But, I mean, just the whole storyline with Shawn faking a knee injury and Jericho calling him a liar, and the fans are like, screw you. But Jericho's telling the truth the whole time. And then getting Shawn's wife, Rebecca, involved. You know, throwing Shawn into the Jericho 3000. It was so good. Amazing. You know, and then Shawn had those great matches with Taker at WrestleMania 25 and 26, ultimately ending Shawn's career in 2010. After WrestleMania 26, it was Shawn's retirement match. Had a ceremony the next night on Raw, and then he was done. Until he came back in 2018 to wrestle in Australia, but hey, we'll forget about that. I mean, hey, it's whatever. Ancient history, right? But I was sad when Shawn retired because he could still go. Still had a ridiculous match against The Undertaker at WrestleMania 26. Could still easily go. It's one of the, 25 and 26 are two of the greatest matches of all time of any wrestler. Him and Taker had so much chemistry together. Came back several times to referee, certain matches and do commentary and all that. But I mean, as an in-ring performer, Shawn Michaels was done. That was a hard pill for me to swallow. But fortunately, I was able to go to WrestleMania 27 in Atlanta and see Shawn get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. You want to talk about a surreal moment. Remembering back watching Shawn Michaels in 1988 in the AWA and then watching the rest of his career, his entire career, every single TV or pay-per-view match, I never missed one. And to be able to go to Atlanta, watch him get inducted as a headliner into the class of 2011 in the WWE Hall of Fame was something I'll never forget. To come full circle, to watch him in his early days and to see him get inducted into the Hall of Fame live in person, I cried. I'm getting a little emotional just thinking about it right now. I cried like a baby during his speech. One thing I always found funny was that he really didn't, I don't even think he mentioned Marty at all, which is really, really sucks. And, Sonny did the same thing that in the same class, and she didn't mention Chris Candido at all, who got her into, everywhere she's gotten into. Shawn didn't mention Marty, who was a big part of how Shawn got into the WWF. But other than that, Shawn's speech was so cool. And to see Triple H and Kevin Nash and X-Pac come out and shirt, poor Scott Hall couldn't be there because of what was going on with him. So that was unfortunate. I'm pretty sure he regrets that now. But to see them all celebrate was pretty badass. And it's something I'll never, ever forget. I'm so blessed and so fortunate to be able to go there and see Shawn Michaels get inducted into the WWE Hall of Fame. In my mind, he is the greatest wrestler of all time. A lot of people agree to that. It's all subjective, obviously. Most cases, he's top five. But as far as in-ring performers who never, ever, ever put on a really bad match, call him Mr. WrestleMania, even though he lost most of his WrestleMania matches. But in doing so, he put so many people over. I miss him. And he's a crazy old man now. He's got his COVID beard going on. But I miss watching him wrestle. And, when he came back and in 2018, wrestle at the Super Showdown. Triple H ended up getting hurt that match, and Shawn had to go. Shawn had to carry the team, and he did. He did. Being retired for 8 years. Yeah, he's a little bit slower. He's a lot older. Didn't have any hair. It's weird. It's weird. But he still carried that match because he's Shawn Michaels, and he's the best ever. He could still go. He could go now if he wanted to. And he's in phenomenal shape right now. I wouldn't rule out another match at some point. I'm still holding out that he'll be the one to retire Undertaker just to get his payback at WrestleMania. Maybe next year. Maybe next year, but we'll see. But yeah, that's my story about how much I love Michael Shawn Hickenbottom, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels. And for all you Daniel Bryan fans out there, he wrestled at the Shawn Michaels Texas Wrestling Academy. Shawn put out some good athletes. Lance Cade, Daniel Bryan, Brian Kendrick. Daniel Bryan owes a lot to Shawn Michaels, too. Without Shawn, Daniel, who knows? Daniel might not ever made it to WWE if he was trained by somebody else. Well, I think he had enough talent to get there eventually, but his career path would have been different for sure. And now with Shawn being in NXT and being a trainer there, who better to learn from than Heartbreak Kid Shawn Michaels? You got Shawn, you got Road Dogg, you got Trips there. I mean, DX runs the Performance Center, man. It's pretty cool. It's pretty awesome. But, you know, if you want to learn how to work and learn in-ring psychology, few better than Shawn Michaels to teach you that. So, I mean, he's been a huge help to NXT for sure. And it's cool to see him giving back, you know, and getting back into it. He couldn't stay away. He tried. He had a ranch down in Texas. He sold it, moved to Orlando. He couldn't help it. Once you get the business in your blood, it's hard to get rid of it. Especially with a guy, you know, that's all he knew. It's all he ever wanted to be was a pro wrestler, you know. Ric Flair was a giant inspiration. He wanted to be like Ric Flair. And to a lot of people, he reached that height. It's pretty tremendous and pretty remarkable. All right, guys, that wraps up for this episode. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I am at RadRobGaming. Check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/RadRobGaming, streaming every Tuesday night at 6 p.m. Central and every Sunday afternoon at 2 p.m. And check out my YouTube gaming page called RadRobGaming. If you want to follow the show on Twitter, it is at RadTurtlesPod. Send us an email, radturtleswrestling@gmail.com. Leave us a like on Facebook, facebook.com/radturtleswrestling. Check out our Pro Wrestling Tees store. It's prowrestlingtees.com/radturtleswrestling. Also, if you want to follow our network, my network, me and Richie Reardon, the R&R Podcast Network, we are on Twitter at RR Pod Network. We appreciate all your support. Until then, guys, I will be back on Saturday for the flagship. Hope you guys are well. Stay safe. Be kind to other people. Have a good next couple of days, and we'll see you on Saturday. Take care, guys.
Thanks again for listening to this episode. You can follow RTW on Twitter at RadTurtlesPod, and you can email the show at RadTurtlesWrestling@gmail.com. We appreciate all of your support. You've been listening to RTW Rewind, exclusively here on the R&R Podcast Network.